Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Yota, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Quest Holdings conference call to present and discuss the full year 2020 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Quest Holdings management. Gentlemen, you may now proceed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I see we have quite a few attendees today, both from Greece and abroad. Thank you. My name is Alexandros Roustas, and I'm the Investor Relations Officer of Quest Holdings, and I'm sitting here with our CEO, Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis, and our CFO, Mr. Markos Mitsakos. We are here to present the financial results of the full year of 2020 and provide insights for 2021 and answer your questions. However, before moving forward, I'd like to inform you that this year Quest celebrates 40 consecutive years of continuous operations, 40 years full of hard work and many challenges, but also numerous successes and plenty of value for our stakeholders. All of us here at Quest believe in our values of hard, honest work, progress through continuous exploration, and we are all committed for the long term. Now we'll give the microphone to Mr. Markos Mitsakos for his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Markos Mitsakos, Quest Group CFO. 2020, without a doubt, was quite an unusual and challenging year for the global as well as the Greek economy. Businesses were trying to deal with the pandemic effects, such as the several lockdowns and the restrictions imposed both to the working environment and the way we were all used to operate and do business. Although some hiccups with regards to sales emerged in spring 2020, when the first nationwide lockdown was imposed in Greece, Quest Group had right after and until the end of the year a substantial boost in its consolidated revenues, which was primarily led by all four volume business companies. This revenue enhancement vis-à-vis 2019 was also assisted by the courier sector, the systems integration, and the renewable energy sector. Thus, the only sector among those Quest Group operates that was negatively affected, however not significantly, from the COVID-19 pandemic is fintech. This was mainly due to the lack of tourism throughout the summer period, which resulted to less card transaction combined with the physical store shutdowns caused by the governmental anti-pandemic measures. Allow me to underline the performance of the entire Quest Group in the fourth quarter of the year, which was exceptional in revenues, EBITDA, EBT, and cash flow production. Having said that, the big picture for Quest Group in 2020 is that revenues, consolidated revenues, reached 721 million euro, increased by 20% versus last year. As previously said, the significant growth was driven by the greater part of our companies, with the IT producer sector being the sales locomotive, contributing 77% of this sales growth. Our consolidated EBITDA increased its growth pace from 6% in the first half of the year and 9.4% in the third quarter to 12.2% for the entire year. This pattern clearly illustrates my comment about the fourth quarter outstanding performance. EBT grew by almost 17%, ending up to 35.2 million. Last, earnings after tax and non-controlling interest doubled versus 2019. Let me now explain a couple of things as far as taxes and earnings after tax. Earnings after tax were remarkably reduced in both years under discussion, meaning 2020 and 2019, driven by the same cause, which is increased taxes. You have surely noticed that 2020 effective tax rate, which is the amount of taxes divided by the earnings before tax, is irrationally high, close to 53%. The explanation for those of you that have not yet been informed by the previous relative announcement is the 105% taxation imposed to Quest Holdings for the retained profit capitalization of 211 million, which took place in 2020. The one-off taxes amount to 11 million. This capitalization allowed the company to offset retained losses of 164 million, all of it derived from impairments and related provisions throughout the severe 10-year Greek financial crisis. As a result, Quest Holdings is now more flexible to freely distribute dividends to its shareholders. In 2019, we had a similar effect when in December of that year, following a new tax legislation, we had to erase a 12 million tax asset related to the previously mentioned retained profits of 211 million, although this was not a cash item. Now, group's net cash position in 2020 was 10.2 million compared to 24.7 million net cash in December 2019. Allow me here to remind you that on the third quarter of the year, Quest Group ended up with 11.6 million net debt, not net cash, net debt. I then said, referring to a relevant question during the previous Q3 call, that we will aim for the end of the year to bring total net debt close to zero. Hence, we performed better than estimated on this. Now let me pass over back to Alexandros to give you a sector overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcos. Now diving deeper into our segments, we observe that the IT product segment consisted of four companies, InfoQuest, iSquare, iStorm and Quest Online, continued to grow by almost 25% at the sales level. The EBT improved by 2.25 million, which is an almost 28% year-over-year growth. Having in mind that last year's EBT was improved by an extraordinary profit of almost 1.4 million, 2020 profitability growth is even higher. IT services sector, consisted of Unisystems and its subsidiaries, also improved by 15% in sales, while it doubled in EBT, assisted by a lower increase in operational costs compared to sales, lower travel expenses, the reduction of financial costs, and more efficient operations in general. Postal services, which is ACS, grew by almost 16% in sales and 4.5% in EBT. At this point, we should add that steep fluctuations in parcel delivery volumes generated by lockdown periods force ACS to get into extraordinary expenses which usually squeeze profitability margins. During last year, ACS significantly increased its volume capacity by more than 40%, 40%, and it will be further improved once the new hub is deployed by the end of the year. Electronic payments, which is Cardlink, marginally improved by 3.6%, while EBT shrank by almost 28%. Main reason for this is the lockdown period, having in mind that Cardlink has a very large exposure in physical retail stores and restaurants, and as already discussed in the past, discounts agreed with the banks, which imposed a further burden to the year 2020 results. Last but not least, Quest Energy segment sales grew by almost 36% and EBT by north of 44% on a year-over-year basis, mainly due to the acquisition of 13.5 megawatts power in total within 2019 and the beginning of 2020. The full year 2020 results include extraordinary negative provisions of €500,000 regarding a possible extraordinary taxation for the balancing of the ELAPED deficit through extraordinary taxes. Now let me pass over to Apostolos, our CEO, to provide the outlook.
Thank you, Alexandros. Good afternoon from me too. I'm Apostolos Georgantzis, Quest Group CEO. The COVID-19 pandemic has created an unprecedented situation and economic environment in most of the countries, and we all hope that soon as possible this situation will be in the past. Just to sum up regarding the 2020 performance, I have to mention that we achieved a strong performance with double-digit and organic growth in all P&L lines. Sales of all sectors grew most most of them grew in double-digit pace. All sectors and six of our subsidiaries managed to significantly contribute in profitability with an EBT of more than 3 million, thus strengthening the diversification advantages of the group. All quarters were good, while the third and the fourth quarter were stronger. Finally, we managed during the 2020 year to provide a significant dividend return of about 45 cents per share, more than triple that of 2019. Regarding the overall COVID effect to our group so far, we estimate that the overall effect was positive. Today, even being in the middle of the third lockdown, we are also optimistic for the outlook for 2021. In more detail per sector, I'm going to describe what we see for the outlook. Regarding the first sector, which is the IT product, this is the group's more affected segment in lockdown periods. However, the steep growth of online sales significantly offsets physical stores' sales drop. However, the lockdown environment boosts demand for tech and IT equipment. Therefore, our initial estimation for 2021 is related to a double-digit growth in sales, driven mainly by the increase in our market shares, launch of new product categories, as well as e-commerce growth. Regarding the second sector, which is the IT services, this segment is estimated to be positively affected by the higher demand in IT services. We have to take in mind also that this sector has a high backlog in projects, which exceeds 300 million. Therefore, we estimate that 2021 for this segment will be grow adequately in both sales and EBT. Regarding the third sector, which is the postal services, here we see the surge in demand for courier services during lockdown period leads to extraordinary extra costs to cope with peak volumes, which usually adversely impact HS profitability margins. Consequently, the initial estimations for 2021 foresee a growth in sales driven mainly by e-commerce, while profitability will be further improved on the midterm once fluctuation in volumes stabilize. The company continues its planned investments for the completion of its new sorting hub. Due to the fact that part of 2020 revenues, about 10%, comes from the plain post division, which is a declining market, we see that the growth for 2021 is not that of the sector of parcels, of courier. Due to that, what we experience is that 2021 estimations for revenues will be, I will rephrase that, due to the slowdown from the postal sector, we see that the revenues of the company overall are a bit lower compared to the growth rates that we experienced in the parcel sector. We also estimate that this trend will be changed during the next year, 2022, in which we estimate that higher growth of sales and profitability following as post will be only 5% of our total revenues. Regarding the fourth sector, which is electronic payments, though 2021 started with a lockdown, we estimate sales to grow at a high single digit. Furthermore, we estimate a stronger positive rebound in profitability driven mainly by the lack of 2020 one-off discounts to the banks, as well as by further growth in transactions. Finally, regarding the last sector, which is renewable energy production, here we see that there is no disruption in the production and distribution of solar energy, so no negative effect is expected in this sector. For 2021, our initial estimations include a mild growth driven by 2020 investments. Further growth will may come from further investments in the future. Now, having the whole the total regarding the overall view, we estimate a positive course for all segments and companies, and on a consolidated level, we estimate a double-digit sales growth followed by high single to low double-digit growth in EBITDA and EBT versus 2020. The first quarter was a very successful start for the year, since we achieved a strong double-digit sales growth, driven mainly by the product segments. Nevertheless, we're cautious for the remaining quarters in relevance to the economy and consumption status after the lift of the restrictions and the withdrawal of governmental financial assistance measures. Furthermore, our cash position is solid. Our cash and available credit lines surpass 170 million euros, allowing us to continue the continuation of planned growth investments. These investments mainly regard to infrastructure for courier services, expansion of product sector to the climate eco market, to the possible acquisition of company called YED, which is the distributor of Toyotomi air conditions, and expansion to vertical IT solutions regarding digital transformations, as well as the expansion of Quest Energy installed base. If all those occurred during 2021, the overall investments could be more than double and possibly triple of those of 2020. However, it should be noted that these investments are in the vast majority, nearly more than 80%, related to growth investments, thus fueling Quest Holdings' future growth for the group. Now, let me pass back to Alexandros.
Okay, thank you, Apostole. That was our brief overview of the 12-month 2020 results and the outlook. We are now happy to take your questions.
The first question comes from the line of Zafari Arash with Cairo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone. Congratulations again for very successful quarter and a very successful year under challenging circumstances. I had two questions, and forgive me, I just want to make sure I understood for the first one. I know you did comment on it on ACS. The sort of one-off costs you incurred due to the very short timeline, but you saw a big jump in demand. Has that now normalized in terms of the sort of extraordinary costs you had? Are they now out and it's more more regular margin? Was my first question. And second of all, when you look at like Cardlink as a business, is this a business that is perhaps worth more to somebody else than it's worth to you in terms of, another type of company or player may have more synergies in this business? And whilst it's a good business and you're happy to keep it, there is perhaps, sometimes some businesses are worth more to other people who can extract synergies from them than yourselves could. Is that correct, perhaps, or is it just, really worth the same to everyone, do you believe? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for the questions. Regarding, I'm Apostolos Georgantzis, regarding the first questions and ACS, the situation is the following. When we have lockdowns, we experience a huge surge in volumes, which usually is associated also with the extra costs. And usually during these periods, we see that the margins are squeezed. This happened during the second quarter of last year. And once the lockdown was finished, we have seen costs being streamlined and profitability was improved. Something similar happened also during the fourth quarter. During the first year of 2021, the whole quarter was here in Greece, we were experiencing a lockdown, so all physical stores were closed. So during this period, we experience higher cost than usual. When the lockdown is closed and the volumes are normalized, then it's more easier to plan and streamline costs within a certain period of time. Usually it takes a month to streamline them. Therefore, we see an improvement in margins. So that's more or less the trend that we see in the ACS when we have lockdowns. However, the effect of the lockdowns is that usually the consumption through e-commerce is raised, and when the lockdown is finished, usually the volumes that are after are higher than the volumes that were before. Therefore, we see the extra cost as an investment, which in the midterm we get back from the increase in volumes. So this is regarding, I hope I answered the first question.
Thank you.
I will pass to Alexander to tell you about the second one.
Yeah, thank you, Aras, again for your interest. Now, regarding CardLink, the sure thing about this space, which we define as the payments space, and more broadly you can define it as a fintech space, the sure thing is that this space has a lot of future, has a lot of growth, and that there's a lot of consolidation in the space, both in the European and the global area. Now, I cannot answer directly if it has more value for another company, for somebody else, perhaps. But what we are sure of is that strategically wise, this space has a lot of future and, of course, needs also relevant investments in order to manage to tap that growth. And we are committed to that. Now, I hope that this answers your question.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Varlas Alexandros with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call and congratulations on the results. Have two small questions, please. One, if you could explain to us a bit more of the rationale for investing in or acquiring probably Dimitriou. And secondly, a comment on a possible entry of a strategic investor in CardLink. Thanks.
Okay, I'm Apostolos Georgantzis. Now, this is regarding Dimitriou, is something that we also mentioned in some previous calls. Therefore, as we mentioned in the past, Quest's strategy is to enter the CLIMA sector, which we believe has a strong potential, as well as much higher margins than the IT wholesale market. Furthermore, we have the same commercial channel, which brings some synergies to us. Therefore, we see this, let's say, move as an extension to the adjacent business sector. To that part, I would like to add that Quest already started operation in the CLIMA sector through a commercial support agreement to YEV during 2020, as well as through its subsidiary, CLIMA Quest, undertaking the presentation of distribution of GRI products in Greece. For those who do not know this market, GRI, which is a company based in China, is the largest manufacturer of air conditioning devices, targeting primarily the B2B sector. Regarding the process of YEV Dimitriou, we have announced last week that we have there was a court submission for application for a liabilities extraction according to Article 106B, which is in which the majority of the creditors have agreed and signed, with Quest Group being the new investor following a restructuring. Should the relevant court accept the proposed restructuring, provided that, in the meantime, no other significant obligation occurs, Quest will have the right to enter to this to YEV, acquiring a majority control and the management. YEV is the official distributor of the Yotomi air conditioning equipment in Greece, and until today holds a leading position in the consumer air conditioning the Greek market. Therefore, basically, what is strategy behind this move is that we are trying to enter a very close market to us in the product sector, in which we see future growth as well as much higher margin. That's our strategy behind it. Now, regarding the second question, about CardLink. As you may have seen already, the banks seem to have a plan to sell their acquiring units, where there is a global consolidation trend in this sector. At the same time, CardLink during the last year achieved a very steep growth since we acquired it back in 2015. Today, we see that the e-payment market in Greece has matured, therefore we're reviewing all strategic options regarding the next stage for growth for the company, which include talks with various strategic players. Such steps could include possible strategic partnerships, as well as the expansion of the company in its next steps. From that, that's our main, position at the moment. We have nothing more, to mention about it.
That's great. Thanks.
The The next question comes from the line of Carlis Konstantinos with Export Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Two questions. One, can you provide us the free cash flow generation sector for the year 2020? And next question, how are you going to finance all these net investments for the current year? You mentioned two or three times the figure of 2020. Thank you.
Hi, this is Marcos speaking. As far as the cash flow, as the total cash flow from operation and more or less is the same with the previous year, close to 6 million euro. And now net cash flow, which means after interest expenses and taxes, was approximately 33 million euro. I repeat that this was more or less the same with 2019. However, in 2020, we had to face a significantly increased capital return to our shareholders amounting to 60 million euros versus 5 million in 2019. And moreover, in 2020, we had approximately 5.5 million euro cash out for servicing the first two installments of the 11 million one-off tax. I hope this answers your first question. And what was the second question?
Just a clarification to the first question.
Investments.
Okay. As far as the investment, let me start by giving you an idea of what the investment of 2021 could be. I remind you that in 2020 we ended up with 26 million euro in overall capex. And as Apostolos already mentioned, 2021 will be the year of serious investments, which may end up being double or even triple of last year investments. To give you an idea of what could be the analysis, we plan for the YED acquisition that Apostolos just mentioned, plus the working capital needed for the operation of the business, we estimate an amount of 25 million. For ACS hub and related sorting machines, an additional investment of 18 million is anticipated for 2021. For Carling POS replacements and new business capex, we estimate an amount of 8 million euro. For energy, we have a placeholder of possible new park acquisition of 6 million euro. Usual additional maintenance for the whole group is in the range of 3 to 4 million. And other possible investments in vertical segments could be in the range of 8 million. All of them totaling an amount of approximately 70 million euros, which is significantly increased versus 2020. I have to underline here that 85 to 90% of this amount regard to growth capex. That means this new capex will fuel our future growth, will generate new revenues, new income. Now, how are we going to facilitate this amount apart from the cash flow from operations that is going to be generated in 2021? We have available cash and credit lines in the range of 150 to 170 million euro. So we are quite safe, let's say, that we can facilitate that kind of investment.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Plus the cash flow of the year. Top.
The next question comes from the line of Kalogeropoulos Yannis with Beta Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good evening. I have two questions regarding your first two segments of operation, the IT retail products and the IT services. Mainly they relate to each other. If you could explain to us the enhancement of the EBITDA margins on both segments, on both categories, For the first one, does it have to do with your entering into the Klima market, or there was something like a special agreement and enhancement from Apple due to the COVID crisis for 2020 that provided you with some special credit terms and repayments which boosted the EBITDA margin? And given that you also had the lack of the 1.4 million back in 2019, so the overall margin expansion is quite significant. Secondly, if you could guide us on the EBITDA margin of Unisystems, which, as far as I recall, is in the tune of 4.5 to 5%, but we saw it escalating to 6.2% for 2020. Does it have to do with any specific projects related to the public digitalization during 2020, and whether you consider that sustainable going forward? And then for Unisystems, another question, if you could provide us with a split of the backlog of the 300 million because between EU projects and grid projects. And finally, one last question that relates to almost all the segments. We saw, apart from the one-off tax charge of 11.2 million, in all the segments, we saw significantly lower effective tax rates. Does that have to do with the pre-installment of tax provisions that the government provided for during to the COVID crisis, or is something different? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Yannis, for your questions. I think I've written down all of them. If I miss something, please come back. Now, regarding IT products, the reality is that the sales increased more steeper, higher than the costs did. It's simple economies of scale. The growth of sales, since especially in the wholesale business, the costs do not increase accordingly. So the increase, much of the increase of sales goes to the lines below, to the profitability lines. So
it's something like an operating leverage effect, correct?
Exactly. You can call it like that. Yeah. So yeah. Now, regarding the Unisystem business, which, if you remember, 3 or 4 years ago was hit, the profitability was hit by some projects that did not produce profit. Now we don't have this effect. We see that Unisystems comes back to its normal margins, which is there about 6%. It could be perhaps even more in the future. I would say that it is assisted by the fact that there are no travel expenses this year. And you know that almost 50%, a little more than 40% of the sales of Unisystems comes from Europe, from European projects. And their travel expenses used to be a significant cost. We don't see any higher margin coming from Greek public or any local project, so this is not the reason. And as far as backlog is concerned, I'd say that most of the backlog, I don't have the segmentation in front of me between Europe and Greece, but I'd say that the majority of backlog comes from European projects, not Greece yet. And therefore, I'd say that also the new projects from the restructuring fund that we hope that will emerge during the next years have not yet been calculated in the backlog. Now, regarding the tax effect, Mr. Bitsakos will have the answer.
Hi, Yanni. I'm not sure I remember more your question, but as far as the taxes is concerned, if we subtract the
11.1 million euro for the one-off taxes for the capitalization that I already mentioned. All the other effective, let's say, tax rates for the individual, the companies one by one are more or less on the level of the 24% tax rate that we have for 2020. Depending on the company, in some cases we have higher tax rates, which is absolutely 100% linked, let's say, with either provisions that are not deductible for tax purposes, things like that, or expenses that could be let's say taken into account in next year.
Okay, that's clear. And one last question, if I may. If I wrote it down correctly, the guidance for 2020-21 is for double-digit sales growth, high single-digit EBITDA growth, and low double-digit EBT growth. Is that correct?
Hi, Yanni. This is Apostolos. I'll just repeat what I mentioned to have it clear. We've experienced a very strong first quarter with double-digit growth rates. Therefore,
across all lines or just on the top line?
I would say probably in all the lines, but we don't have exact numbers to provide you at the moment. First, certainly for sales number were very strong and were mainly driven by the product sector. Technology products were really hot during this quarter. Now, regarding our estimate for the whole year, we estimate that we're going to have a double-digit growth in sales. It would be followed by a high single-digit to low double-digit in profitability, which regards to both EBITDA and EBT. This will have a lot to do of how the remaining quarters will do, because we're, as I mentioned, cautious about the situation after the lockdown, lift, and how the economy and the consumption will perform afterwards. So if we continue, let's say, the way we have managed to do in the first quarter, it could be better, if that helps give you a clearer view.
Okay, Apostoli, that's very helpful. Thanks a lot for the answers.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Apostolos Georgantzis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you. As a closing, we would like to thank you all for your participation and wish you all to be well and healthy. Have a nice afternoon. Thank you.